Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying I'm the reason why Fox News is coming on Friday. I'm not. I'm just saying that I sent it to somebody who sent it to somebody very important, and now Fox News is coming. I'm not saying it's because of me. I'm just saying that I did send it to somebody very important who sent it to somebody very important, and now they're coming. But it's going to be a great day. And so Peter Ducey will be there. The dad. Still, Steve. Yeah, Peter's the kid. Steve, the father. He's going to be at a diner, and then they're going to have coverage all day, throughout the day, in Wildwood on Friday. So it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. We are expecting a record crowd. Get there early. Go see Dom first at Mulligan's. You have plenty of time, and then come over and see my show after that. We'll be live on the pier. You can't miss it. If you miss it, you will really feel like you are missing out on something historic. I have to tell you, the returns that came in today, and I'm in studio, and you know how much I hate being in studio, so I have to wear my glasses because I don't have a teleprompter. But this is pretty cool. I'm going to read you this here. So New Jersey vote by mail is in for 10-8. This is the mail file. Republicans were able to expand their return rate edge by a whole basis point yesterday. So the rate of return for Republicans right now with mail-in ballots, 28.15%. Democrat rate of return, 25.99%. All counties are now reasonably caught up in their ballot processing, and we're 17 days out from the start of early in-person voting, plodding along nicely for Republicans. Now, here's what I think about this, and this is a take that I'm going to offer you because I've been involved in New Jersey politics since I was a child. What this tells me more than anything is the Democrat machine is laying down for Mikey Sherrill. More than anything, it tells me that the Democrat Party bosses are not excited about her. They don't like her. And they're laying down. Just like this is the same play that happened in 2009 when they didn't like John Corzine and Chris Christie was running. And it's not that they helped him, but they didn't help Corzine. I see the same things playing out here with Mikey Sherrill. And I think part of the reason is she has not endeared any loyalty. She's a congressperson woman. I think she's a woman. I don't know. I haven't asked her, but she and every ad makes that point. So I guess, you know, we got to say that she's a congresswoman. She hasn't made a lot of friends in Trenton. Doesn't know any of the power brokers, has fought the establishment up and down the line, called on George Norcross to go to prison, the powerful South Jersey political boss, when he was indicted, even though those charges were eventually thrown out. I think that is a big tell right there. Yes, Republicans are excited. I don't want to take that away. Republicans are excited, and there is enthusiasm, and there's organization. Absolutely. The reason why I'm so optimistic going into this on Election Day, when Democrats have an 800,000 vote advantage to Republicans in New Jersey, is that I think the machine is staying away from helping Mikey Sherrill. The Democrat machine in Camden and Gloucester and Hudson and Bergen and Essex, if those machines don't turn out, for the Democrat candidate running for governor, then that candidate loses. Another couple interesting data points. More anecdotal than data. Anecdotal. I like anecdotal better than data. I'm an anecdotal kind of guy. Data involves numbers and counting and whatnot, maybe multiplicate. But, and I got to tell you something, just as a side note, my son now is in fifth grade and homework, which should be illegal, is actually getting kind of hard. Oh, really? I would make homework illegal. I would pass a constitutional amendment to ban it. These kids are in school all friggin' day. Then you got to send them home with work that I got to ultimately help them with. No. Make homework illegal. That's end that. They got sports and activities and family dinner. It's very important to me, even though I'm not going to be having dinner with my family for probably a week. Maybe not till after Election Day at this point. Who knows? And then they got to sit down and do homework. Get it done in school. That's what I say. Can't stand it. I'm serious about this. I don't like it. You got to teach kids. I want them to get their work done during school and then come home and then be able to be kids and have fun and do their organized events and spend time with their family and not have to do homework. I mean that. I've always said that. I've long believed that. Okay. But his homework's getting hard and the math stuff, I cannot help him. When my wife was away last week, I just said to him, buddy, we're going to have to go online here and we're going to have to, because I don't, you know, but anyway, anecdotally, you've got several Democrat mayors who are now coming out and endorsing Jack Cittarelli, bucking the establishment. And Jack's going into the heart of Democrat country, going into places like Bergen and Essex and Hudson County and going into some of those deep blue towns. And he's picking up endorsements from business leaders and people. And that is not happening with Mikey Sherrill. In other words, the Democrat candidate is not going to Republican rich counties like Sussex, Warren, Hunterdon, Ocean, Cape May, and picking up endorsements. That's not happening. You know what I mean? She's not going down to Cumberland County and getting Republican elected officials to back her. That is not happening. But it is happening for Jack. He's going into Democrat places and he's coming out with Democrat endorsements. Why? Because a lot of these local officials have had it with their own party. They've had it, and several of them have turned in their registration cards and became Republicans on the spot. They've had it with the corruption and the way that the Democrats in Trenton just recklessly spend money and there's no accountability. They had it with the way that Murphy, his royal ruggedness, King Filthy Unaccountable, and his green energy scam, and how it's jacked up everybody's energy bills, and they hear about it nonstop from the people that live in their town. And the affordable housing that these mayors now have to find a way to somehow cram into their already overly developed towns. And they don't want it. And the Murphy administration is pushing them on this. They have lots of different levers they can use to slow it down, but they don't want to. And there's nothing affordable about affordable housing. High density housing is what it is. And that's what you have to understand about that. So they've had it. They're done. But you're not finding Mikey Sherrill going down to Cumberland County where you've got a lot of Republicans and going down there and picking up endorsements from people who've had it with Trump or the way he's dealing with illegal immigrants or the fact that he's being tough on crime. You're not having that. That's not occurring. If anything, you're getting Democrat endorsements for Jack and Democrat voters who are voting for Jack because they say, I love the fact that Republicans are actually going to go after crime. And I'm sick and tired of the fact that Democrats have been the party of defund the police and are now screaming because the president's trying to clean up the streets. We've had it. We're done. I really feel good about this election. I really do. I feel good about it. There's a lot of work to go. A lot of work to do and a long way to go. But I feel very good right now based on everything I'm seeing. But mostly I'm excited because if you have over 1,000 people showing up in Wildwood on Friday for a non-presidential political rally. I can tell you I've never seen anything like that in my life. In all the years I've been doing this, in all the years that I've been involved in politics, I have never seen in my life that much enthusiasm and excitement in October in Wildwood, New Jersey, or anywhere in New Jersey for that matter. Can you remember the last time you ever went to a political rally for a non-presidential candidate, Pennsylvania, Delaware, New Jersey? I challenge you. And had over 1,000 people turn out. I can't. I'm thinking back. Christie would draw crowds, nothing like that. And it's for Jack Cittarelli. mean, at the end of the day, the reason why guys like Benny Johnson and Jack Sobiak and Cliff Maloney, who will be in studio with me later today, by the way, he's going to stop by. They're coming in to help Jack because they know that he can win this race. He can win. Scott Pressler coming down, coming to be part of the Wildwood Rally. These guys are not going to waste their time. They have lots to do, but they believe Jack can win. The momentum, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that people have said after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, you know what, I'm not going to stay out of politics. I'm going to get more involved. I'm going to get more engaged. They're not going to silence us. I think that has a lot to do with it, too. And the president's approval ratings have not changed. Despite the media trying to act like he's become incredibly unpopular in some way, he hasn't. If anything, Democrats by the day grow less popular. Even Jon Stewart now is openly making fun of Chuck Schumer. Yeah, openly making fun of Chuck Schumer for being a human flat tire. We'll play that clip for you, but we can't stream it on YouTube because Paramount/Viacom CBS, they will sue us, but we'll play the audio for you of Jon Stewart. Why don't we do that right now? This is cut number 12, calling Chuck Schumer a human flat tire. Take a listen.
Democrats are adamant that we must protect the health care of the American people.
Good points. Not crazy about this. Solid framing, delivered with clarity. Really could have done without the whole Americans demand. It's just not. But if you would stop there, that would be great. But you're going to keep talking, aren't you? Aren't you?
New data came out today from KFF. And that is not Kentucky Fried French Fries. KFF could be Kentucky French Fries. I know. Aren't.
Who is that joke even for? 6-year-olds that watch C-SPAN? What the f*** are you doing? Chuck Schumer is a human flat tire.
That's not winning. That's not what winning looks like. You know what I mean? That's not winning right there. If you've got Jon Stewart mocking you for how bad your delivery is and how bad you're handling the shutdown, That's not you winning the day, the message, the week, the hour, whatever it is. That's called getting your, I don't want to say, tuchus handed to you. Solidly handed to you. And you've become a joke and a clown. And that's what Chuck Schumer is. He's a joke. He's a clown. This whole shutdown is a joke. Led by a clown who's terrified of a primary by AOC. And let me tell you something. If AOC decides to challenge him, she will win. She will beat him in a primary for New York, for the United States Senate in New York City or state. Absolutely. 100%. She'll have the backing of the commie mayor, Zoran Mankami, and she'll win. She'll beat Schumer in a heartbeat. But he's, how lame is that? Kentucky fried French fries? What? This is the Democrat leader. He's 175 years old. Looks like the Crypt Keeper. Standing next to the vampiric one in particular, when those two get together. And here you are. Here you got this. This is the Democrats, and it's their shutdown. And this polling memo from Schumer's group saying they're winning on the message. Oh, really? With who? How are you winning? What is winning? Please explain it to me, because I'm missing out on this. I mean, even as you go through all of this now, and you look at all the audio we have today, it's no surprise that Donald Trump is just remaining firmly in his lane right now, because he has the opportunity to cut some of the fat that they identified during DOGE as long as Democrats keep the government shut down. I mean, good. Look, I'm sorry some people won't get their paychecks. I am. I feel bad for people that are not getting paid, but they've also said now that people can get back pay. I don't know. I'm going to leave emotion out of it and just say, if this is an opportunity to cut the size of the federal government, I'm all in. I'm all in. Sign me up. If this really is the first time we've ever seen a government shutdown, where at the end of the government shutdown, we actually keep parts of the government shut down, that's a good thing. In my opinion, absolutely. Go up, fine with me. And yes, I'm sorry if that means some people won't get their paychecks. I know. And I don't want to sound cold and callous, but at the same time, our federal government is way too big. There's too much fat. There's too many people that work there. And that's not how it's supposed to be. But if Democrats are really worried about that, they should reopen the government. Because the longer this goes, the harder it's going to be to get around that fact. So if they're really sympathetic to all those government workers who live in Virginia and Maryland, right on the D.C. border, who wind up voting Democrat, and a reason why Virginia has become a blue state, not a swing state, then they should reopen the government before Russ Vogt has his opportunity to start slashing and cutting and slashing like he's Michael Myers on Halloween. That's what they should do. Will they? I doubt it. I don't think so, because these people are not smart. They're not good at what they do. And I don't think for a second they really care about any of those people. They'll take their votes, but they don't really care about them. And for AOC, the longer this goes on, the happier she is, the better she is. She's in charge when she's not making fun of people who are below the 5 foot height line, the short kings. When she's not doing that, she's in charge. She's running the show. She's running the Democrat Party. This is her party now. AOC is the leader. Chuck Schumer may be the leader in name and title on the United States Senate side, but do not doubt me when I tell you that AOC is the leader of the party, whether or not she has the title or not. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. A lot to get to, including the White House roundtable on Antifa. We are streaming live on YouTube. Join the fun. Keep the conversation going. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an incredible moment where this Katie Porter, who is a Democrat, who is the front runner to be the next governor of California, sat down with a reporter from CBS and then left the interview after getting frustrated by the questioning. And this interview has gone viral. First of all, it's CBS. That's number one. It's CBS. It's not exactly, you know, it's CBS. Not exactly the most conservative station out there. And they're asking her some questions and she doesn't like it. And so this exchange happens. This is now cut number 7. Katie Porter, the Democrat frontrunner to be the governor of California. Take a listen.
What do you say to the 40% of California voters who you'll need in order to win, who voted for Trump?
How would I need them in order to win, ma'am?
Well, unless you think you're going to get 60% of the vote. You think you'll get 60%. Everybody who did not vote for Trump will vote for you. That's what you're
saying. In a general election? Yes. If it is me versus a Republican, I think that I will win the people who did not vote for Trump.
What if it's you versus another Democrat?
I don't intend that to be the case.
So how do you not intend that to be the case? Are you going to ask them not to run?
No. I'm saying I'm going to build the support. I have the support already in terms of name recognition. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do the very best I can to make sure that we get through this primary in a really strong position. But let me be clear with you. I represented Orange County. I represented a purple area. Mm-hmm. I have stood on my own 2 feet and won Republican votes before. That's not something every candidate in this race can say. If you're from a deep blue area, if you're from LA or you're from Oakland, you don't have an experience.
But you just said you don't need those Trump voters.
Well, you asked me if I needed them to win.
So you don't.
I feel like this is unnecessarily argumentative. What is your question?
The question is the same thing I asked everybody, that this is being called the empowering voters to stop Trump's power grab. Every other candidate has answered this question. This is not
correct. And I said I support it.
So, and the question is, what do you say to the 40% of voters who voted for Trump?
Oh, I'm happy to say that. It's the do you need them to win part that I don't understand. I'm happy to answer the question as you have it written, and I'll answer it.
And we've also asked the other candidates, do you think you need any of those 40% of California voters to win? And you're saying, no, you don't.
No, I'm saying I'm going to try to win every vote I can. And what I'm saying to you is that...
Well, to those voters. Okay, so you...
I don't want to keep doing this. I'm going to call it. Okay. Thank you.
You're not going to do the interview with us?
Nope, not like this. I'm not. Not with 7 follow-ups to every single question you ask.
Every other candidate has answered our follow-ups.
I don't care. I want to have a pleasant, positive conversation in which you ask me about every issue on this list. And if every question you're going to make up a follow-up question, then we're never going to get there.
Ms.
And
Porter,
we're just going to circle around.
I am an investigative reporter.
I have never
reporter.
Had to do this before, ever.
You've never had to have a conversation with
to end
a
an
reporter?
Interview.
Okay, but every other candidate has done this.
What part of...
Now, let's stop it here for just a second here. So Katie Porter, who's running for governor of California... And the CBS reporter is just asking, do you need any Trump support? The arrogance of her, how dare you even suggest that she would need any Trump voters? You know why? Because she thinks they're scum. They're scum. That's why she's so disgusted with this. The answer is, sure, I can win them over because they're concerned with blah, 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 blah. And I'm the candidate who can, but she doesn't want their vote. She's really triggered by the fact, the suggestion, the even appearance of her wanting one of those votes by those deplorable, garbage, racist, homophobic, transphobic, blah, 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 misogynistic Trump voters. How dare you insinuate that I would even need those scum, let alone want them? That's what that is. That's why she's so upset by this. Because most of the time in this kind of a situation, the candidate would say, absolutely. In fact, I'm the only person who can cross the aisle and win over those Republicans who are not happy with what they're seeing coming out of this White House. And maybe they're not happy with the tariffs, or maybe they're not happy with the treatment by ICE towards some of the members of their community. But I can go to them and I can make. Nope. How dare you insinuate that I would need a single deplorable if I'm in the general election? I don't want, I don't need. Blech, pond scum, deplorables. And it keeps going. Go ahead.
I'm running for governor because I'm a leader. So I am going to make...
So you're not
going
to answer questions from reporters? Okay, why don't we go through? I will continue to ask follow-up questions because that's my job as a journalist, but I will go through and ask these. And if you don't want to answer, you don't want to answer. So nearly every legislative...
I don't want to have an unhappy experience with you. And I don't want this all on camera.
I don't want to have an unhappy experience with you either.
Aww.
I would love to continue to ask these questions so that we can show our viewers what every candidate feels about every one of these issues that they care about. And redistricting is a massive issue. We're going to do an entire story just on the responses to that question. And I've asked everybody the same follow-up questions.
I don't want to have an unhappy experience here, okay? I got into this race to have only happy experiences, just so you know. That is mind-blowing, but it really is at the heart of Democrats who are the arrogance. I'm not going to sit there and have the scrutiny of the press. You know, there's a clip of Caitlin Collins saying Donald Trump is the single most accessible president she's had. But speaking of the president, he's now hosting a White House roundtable on Antifa. Let's jump in and take a listen and a watch of the president.
On the other side also, but it's something I think that will happen, got a good chance of happening. I may go there sometime toward the end of the week.
Sorry about Hamas and Israel.
Maybe on Sunday, actually. And we'll see. But there's a very good chance that negotiations are going along very well. We're dealing with Hamas and many of the countries. As you know, we have Muslim. All of the Muslim countries are included. All of the Arab countries are included. Very rich countries and some that are not so rich, but just about everybody's included. It's never happened before. Nothing like that's happened before. And our final negotiation, as you know, is with Hamas. And it seems to be going well, so we'll let you know. If that's the case, we'll be leaving probably on Sunday, maybe Saturday, maybe a little later than Saturday evening, but that seems to be our schedule. It should be clear to all Americans that we have a very serious left-wing terror threat in our country. Radicals associated with the domestic terror group Antifa, that you've heard a lot about lately, and I've heard a lot about them for 10 years. And other far-left extremists have been carrying out a campaign of violence against ICE agents and other officials charged with enforcing federal law. In Chicago, anarchists have surveilled at least four local ICE facilities and posted diagrams of the buildings online, meaning nothing but bad, accompanied by photos of specific ICE agents that they're targeting, one in particular who's a top person and a great person, a great patriot. In July, approximately a dozen Antifa-aligned militants stormed the ICE facility in Texas and then lured officers out of the building before firing dozens of rounds at police. They were crazy, frankly, shooting one Texas officer in the neck. And in Portland, Oregon, Antifa thugs have repeatedly attacked our officers and laid siege to federal property in an attempt to violently stop the execution of federal law. Everything we're doing is very lawful. What they're doing is not lawful. And what the governor and the mayor of, as an example, you could say of Portland and you could say certainly of Chicago, is not lawful what they're doing. They have to be very careful. In addition, 2 weeks ago, a radical left terrorist in Dallas conducted a sniper attack on a local ICE facility, killing two people and leaving behind a note that read, "Hopefully this will give ICE agents some real terror." That's bad. This attack came the very same month that Charlie Kirk was assassinated by a far-left extremist who inscribed the words, "Hey, fascist, catch," meaning catch the bullet, onto the bullet shelf itself. The epidemic of left-wing violence and Antifa-inspired terror has been escalating for nearly a decade. At universities, Antifa has organized riotous mobs to attack campus speakers. I see it all the time. And these are agitators, anarchists, and they're paid. And you'll find that out. You'll be finding it out very soon. You should see what we have on these people. These are bad people. These are people that want to destroy our country. We're not going to let it happen. They've used armed gangs to assault local police in cities nationwide, and they've attacked journalists reporting on their crimes. So the journalists that report on their crimes, don't worry, you're very safe. I hope that's not going to turn you around, but they have been very threatening to people, but we're going to be very threatening to them, far more threatening to them than they ever were with us, and that includes the people that fund them. Probably some of the people I know, some of the people I dine with, but if they do, they're in deep trouble. So we're going to be looking very strongly at the people that are funding these operations. When you see the signs, and they're all made out of a beautiful, beautiful paper, beautiful, nice, stiff, very expensive paper with beautiful wood handles, all the same color. They come from very expensive printing machines. These are not people that write out their signs in a basement that believe in something. These are paid anarchists. At least three of these courageous journalists have personally been victims of Antifa attacks. Andy Ngo has been repeatedly beaten by Antifa thugs for his work in cruel. Andy is a very serious person, too, I have to tell you. I've been watching him for a long time. Is Andy here? That's what I thought. Hello, Andy. I thought that was you. You're looking better than you do out on those streets, huh? You look much better. It's nice to have you. You feel a little safer here, I think, maybe. Well, not that safe because you have them. You have to worry about that. But thank you very much. Andy Ngo has been repeatedly beaten by Antifa, and including one assault that left him with a brain hemorrhage. Only days ago, Nick Sautor was assaulted in Portland by a flag-burning mob, and we've made it a one-year penalty for inciting riots. We took the freedom of speech away because that's been through the courts, and the courts said, you have freedom of speech, but what has happened is when they burn a flag, it agitates and irritates crowds. I've never seen anything like it on both sides, and you end up with riots. So we're going on that basis. We're looking at it from not from the freedom of speech, which I always felt strongly about, but never passed the courts. This is what they do, is they incite. When you burn an American flag, you incite tremendous violence. We have many examples of it, many, many examples of it, and it's actually down on tape, and you see things happen that just don't happen unless it's a flag that's burning. Very recently, Katie Davis Court was hit in the face with a flagpole in Portland by an Antifa radical, leaving her with a very blackened eye. So, Katie, thank you very much, and I'd like to also say that I watched Nick. Where's Nick? Is Nick here? Nick? Hi, Nick. That was a rough time you went through. I hope you got my little note. I wrote you a note.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. It helped a lot because it was a difficult situation. It was very stressful, and your note helped a lot. I truly appreciate it.
I thought it was terrible, actually. I thought it was terrible. So we'll talk about it a little bit. Under the last administration, the Department of Justice targeted faithful Catholics, Christians, and patriotic parents as domestic extremists. They said, oh, they're extreme because they believe in God. They're extreme because they go to a Catholic church or evangelicals. Everybody was under the gun. Unless you are a really bad, sick person, then they left you alone. Under the Trump administration, we're going after Antifa criminals, and all who fund and support their campaigns are in serious trouble. And we have a lot of records already, a lot of surprises, a lot of bad surprises. It's people that you would never think. I want to thank Attorney General Pam Bondi, who, by the way, yesterday was incredible in Congress. It was amazing. And she just did it from the heart. And the brain, because she's very smart, in all fairness. But she did it from the heart. And she did it an incredible. Everybody was talking about it. She exposed some of these fake senators, these terrible senators, people like Blumenthal that had a phony war record. For 20 years, he talked about what a hero he was, and it turned out he never went to Vietnam. For 20 years, he talked about being a hero in Vietnam. Then it was exposed when he said what platoon he was with, and it was exposed that somebody was watching from that particular platoon. They said he was never with us, and then he went out and he cried, and he was ready to drop out of the election. And disgraceful. And then he looks at people like Pam and he starts criticizing her, and she's a patriot. And they ought to do something with that. You know, we have a young congressman that's right now in jail for lying about where he went to college and other things. It was, you know, frankly, not good. It was pretty bad. But it was nothing compared to Blumenthal. I mean, what Blumenthal did, he was for 20 years a hero, a great war hero. And then he sits back and, you know, sanctimonious kind of a guy. Looks down, how dare you do this to the American public, you know? What a fake. But I thought Pam was incredible yesterday, as well as Secretary Kristi Noem, who's really out there courageously, and I appreciate it, Kristi. Amazing what you're doing. FBI Director
Cash Patel. All right, we're going to take a quick break here as the president's making some introductions as they talk about left-wing violence escalating the show goes on. We'll jump into this in a few minutes, but I do want to let you know about Bob's Little Sports Shop, because they are fantastic, and they are more than just simply a firearm store. They are a full-service shop with years of experience and a commitment to helping customers become safe, responsible gun owners. And right now, you can sign up for a handgun cleaning class, just $35, manufacturer-specific. Learn how to clean your firearm safely, step by step. Spots are limited, so pre-register today. Also, don't miss their next co-ed shoot, October 12th. Perfect for beginners or experienced shooters. It's a fun, supportive way to learn or sharpen your skills. That's this coming Sunday, October 12th. Sign up today. bobslittlesportshop.com. Bob's instructors are fantastic, and no firearms ID card or prior experience is required to attend this event coming up on October 12th. So if you've been interested in learning how to shoot, you could bring somebody with you. You could bring whoever you want. You make it a date. Make it a parents' day out and have some fun. You'll learn responsible way to use a firearm from the great people at Bob's Little Sports Shop. So go there right now at bobslittlesportshop.com. 316 Delsey Drive in Glassboro, New Jersey. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's where Justin plays whenever the president speaks. I wonder if the president will speak on Friday at our event in Wildwood. Maybe he'll call in. Who knows? We shall see. But I'll tell you one thing. The enthusiasm that we have going into this race, the enthusiasm that we have for Jack Cittarelli, marked by the enthusiasm that Republicans have right now since Charlie Kirk's passing. If there's something good that can come from a tragedy like that, it's certainly that, no doubt about it. So the president is hosting this roundtable at the White House right now discussing Antifa. And Kristi Noem right now, the Secretary of Homeland Security, speaking about Antifa and the dozens of Antifa members who've been arrested. I'm going to jump back in here and take a listen. We'll jump in live here, Justin, if we can. Can we do that?
So bold, okay. And for standing in the gap at such a time as this, it will matter. It will make a difference, and your life will be one of significance because of what you've done today. So with that, God bless you, and thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Cash, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the American people gave you a sweeping mandate in your victory in this election cycle, and they demanded safety and security for our citizens. And your administration, with your leadership, has provided us with the resources that we need, which is a whole-of-government approach to go after criminals absolutely everywhere, not just outside of this country, but within this country. And that takes a whole-of-government approach. The interagency seated up here with the Department of Homeland Security, our Attorney General, our Deputy Attorney General, and your White House staffers, including Stephen Miller's leadership, has allowed us to go out there and map out these networks. What we are doing at the FBI is simple. It does not require rocket science. We are following the money. Money never lies. And that's what it's going to take to bring down this network of organized criminal thugs, gangbangers, and yes, domestic terrorists, because that's what they are. They are harming everyday citizens in every single one of our communities. And the folks you see here on the right and left, they're some of the bravest men and women we have today. They're reporting the stories live time because the mainstream media won't cover it. They're putting their lives on the line. They're standing up for the flag. The least we can do is stand up for them. So you have my thanks. I read more of your stories than I do theirs because you guys are putting out the truth. And we deserve a country where you are protected as equally as they are. We, in this FBI will go after with the criminals with a vengeance. We will not rest until we find every single seed, money, donor, organization, and funding mechanism that we have. And I want to echo the Secretary's comments on Scott Bessent, who's allowing us to map out these networks through their financial criminal activities, which has been going on for decades. And I would like to remind the American public, they built this disease temple of corruption over decades. And in 8 short months, Mr. President, you have crippled their foundation because of your leadership here, because of the interagency, because of people like Deputy Attorney General Blanche, and because of Attorney General Pam Bondi's fearless leadership to go after criminals wherever they are. They will not be able to hide. They were able to hide and conspire with prior administrations, and we are exposing their corruption from within. And we will go to every single city in this country under Operation Summer Heat and the other operations we are doing at the FBI to bring these criminals to justice. We will arrest every single one of them from whatever perch you sit in, private or public, no matter high your goal or your ambition is. It will be crushed by the Constitution because the American people deserve law and order, and that's what we're going to give you.
Thank you very much, Cash. Great job. Maybe we'll start over here. Would any of you like to say something? Feel free. You can say it in front of a fine group of people, also journalists and reporters. Do you want to start?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. President Trump, members of the cabinet, really appreciate you guys bringing this together. And the fact that we are here today and on such short notice shows how serious you guys are taking this issue.
Right, we're going to jump out of this. We might jump back in, though, as the show goes on. Probably this is going to go on for a while, I would think, would be my sense of it all. But I have a bunch of other stuff to get to with you today. So they voted no for the sixth time today. So we don't have to play cut number one. But that's the latest update, is that Republicans are frustrated because the sixth chance they had to open the government is now over. Democrats voting no for the sixth time. Okay. And here's the thing. And as I'm looking at all of this, you know, it's really important to understand that you've got now a lot of reaction to how accessible the president is. Like, people are trashing Caitlin Collins for having the audacity to say President Trump, let's cue up cut number nine, has embraced the media more than his predecessors have. Embraced the media more than his predecessors. So here's CNN anchor Caitlin Collins. And, you know, I mean, they get into it at the White House sometimes. They go back and forth and back and forth. And sometimes it's really fun to watch. Really is. Cut number nine.
Is such an accessible president that, like, if he's just swearing in the ambassador to Greece, like, typically that wouldn't be a newsworthy event if President Biden or any typical president was probably doing it. But Trump's moments, anytime the camera's around and the reporters are around, it can turn into a press conference. And so you never go into the Oval thinking, oh, this is going to be a quick, we call them sprays. That's where you go in, basically a photo op, and then you leave, because Trump will swear someone in and then he'll turn to you and say, you know, any questions? And he'll take maybe questions for 45 minutes. And so you have to, like, I always keep a running list of questions on my phone.
Okay.
Because you never know when you're going to run into him or when he's going to start taking questions. And so you can't just have one or two. Like, you have to have like 10 ready to go.
Because you said the word typical president, right? Not your typical president. Typical president was swearing in someone from Greece. Like, we would know. Is that because of predictability?
Here, well, so Trump is my first president that I've recovered. And I covered Biden as well. And so right. I can compare it to him. But even with President Obama, you know, there are these moments in the Oval Office that everyone has come to know because you see them on TV so often.
Right.
But when you speak to reporters who covered President Obama, he almost never responded to shouted questions.
It
wasn't his thing. He didn't, you know, he would have his moments with world leaders and then you would leave the Oval. Trump kind of upended that when he came into the White House. Mm. And sometimes presidents are press averse. Trump embraced the media. I mean, he did it for decades as like this New York mogul.
Sure.
And so he just had a different approach to the press and always has, you know, long before taking office. Most politicians are not very press savvy. It kind of depends on who it is. I think Trump always understood the value of a camera and a microphone.
And he's good at a camera and a microphone, and he likes using a camera and a microphone, and he likes being accessible to the press. That's what he's doing right now. I mean, he's sitting there going through all of this with the members of the press and the media. And then I imagine he's going to probably take questions after that, too. But you have to realize something, and this is a key point in all this. What you have to realize right now is that he'll never get credit for that. I'm glad she gave him the credit. Remember, Biden never talked to the press until Kamala Harris was running for president, had a press conference. I'll never forget this. Had a press conference. And then what does he do? He walks in while she's having a press conference, knowing that the press is all going to stop covering her press conference, her event, her live rally, whatever the hell she was doing. Speech. I don't even think it was a press conference. Actually, it was a speech. Because she never talked to the press either. Kamala Harris never talked to the press. So to be clear, it was a speech she was giving. And Joe Biden, the first time his entire presidency, walks into the White House press briefing room, stands at the podium, and takes questions. While the Democrat nominee for president of the United States, his would-be successor, his vice president, is having a presidential event. What do the media do? They all stop covering Kamala Harris, and they turn right over to, obviously, the president of the United States of America, who is having an event at the White House by going in and talking to the press in the press briefing room. That's it. That was the only time Biden ever addressed him. So you could see the contrast there in a big, big way. No doubt about it. All right. We're going to keep monitoring the event for you live at the White House, a roundtable on Antifa with the FBI director, the attorney general, Homeland Security secretary, and so many more people. We got a big week ahead. So just strap on in, kids. Don't go away. Be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.